As a good man, Joseph believed all of that. Didn't define it, understand it in terms of Jesus, but he believed that. He was a good man. And he had a fairly good and well-established plan for his life. He was a faithful, righteous, godly believer in God. He was respected as a young adult, a young man, looked up to in his community. Likely, though, his parents arranged his marriage. And I don't know, was he 20, was he 30? He might have been 40. I don't know. But his parents arranged his marriage to a young teenager named Mary. Well, what was she? 13, 14, 15? And Joseph, here he is, looking forward to this wonderful, well-planned-out life with Mary. He had everything mapped out for himself. They, in the small village of Nazareth, he was a carpenter. All the details of the life journey clearly set out for them. And then comes this massive, incredibly large disruption. It really, more than that, it was a total in-your-face disruption, interruption to everything in Joseph's roadmap. It was a full stop to his life plan. He finds out, as Diane said, Mary's pregnant. 13, 14-year-old fiance, she's pregnant. And it's not him. Now, according to his faith code, at that point, he was fully entitled. In fact, it was absolutely expected of him that he would publicly expose her and thereby subject her to the most severe kind of punishment. It could even be stoning. And here's a big struggle now going on for Joseph. I mean, what was he to do? I mean, it was laid out for him in his faith code what he was supposed to do. They had an answer for that question. And Nazareth was a small town. It wasn't a big city by any means. And the word was going to get around town, the village, like wildfire. Everybody would know. And all of Joseph's standing and reputation and credibility, everything would be shot. His whole life was on the line right here. Now, the scripture lesson reads that Joseph was a good man. The translation actually could be tweaked a little bit. There's a variant in there that does have some support, and it could be read, although he was a good man. Now think of it. A good man, faithful to the faith code, would expose her, humiliate her, and then call for severe punishment. Although he was a good man, although he believed in the faith code, he was willing to take a stand a little bit different than that. We're actually largely different from that. And he wanted to do this whole thing quietly. He wanted to save as much as he could his own reputation and save Mary from the most severe punishment that she could have been subjected to. Verse 20, we read this, that while he was thinking about all this, pondering all of this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Now, I don't know about you, but this is where my mind goes. Why did that angel of the Lord take so long to get to him? I mean, it would have been much more convenient, don't you think, if that angel could have got to him before Mary even maybe got pregnant? Save him all of this anxiety and stress that he was going through, at least very shortly after she got pregnant. I mean, I think for so many of us, I include myself, we think that God's number one plan for me in life is anxiety removal. Do you have that as well? You know, if God's good, God's going to save me all the stresses, save me from all the stresses and anxieties and fears and concerns of my life. I mean, Joseph's stress level, whoa. This was what was happening to it. But here it is, folks. Anxiety removal is not God's number one goal for you. God actually works in and through all the struggles of my life and your life. He was working in and through this particular struggle that Joseph was having. It's the same exactly for us. Discomfort, you see, distress isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's allowed by God so often, so there can be new growth, fresh growth, challenging growth in our lives. God had something in store for Joseph. He just saw the thread outline. He didn't see the big picture. And God had something in store for Joseph he didn't even have a clue about. The first words that the angel of the Lord has for Joseph is, don't be afraid. You know, again and again, you go through the New Testament, and even through the Old Testament, that is the most, you know, whenever God speaks, it seems to be to people, whenever he speaks to people, it seems to always include these words, don't be afraid. The three most frequent words of God when talking to people just like us. Now, why speak these words to Joseph? Why would Joseph be afraid? Well, one, he would be afraid of offending and violating his faith code. That's one thing. He was a righteous man, a good man. And number two, he'd be afraid of losing his reputation. It would be gone in a flash once it was discovered Mary was pregnant. It wasn't by him. But Joseph did what the Lord commanded. He did two huge things. I mean, sometimes we can lose this. I mean, I know I can. And just the familiarity of the passage, we lose how enormous these two decisions of Joseph actually were. Verse 24, it says he took Mary as his wife. And verse 25, he gave the baby the name of Jesus. Joseph took two legal actions, legal in the land and the time that he was living in. He publicly claimed Mary as his wife, and he publicly adopted the child as his own by giving that baby the name of Jesus. In other words, what Joseph did by these two actions, taking Mary as his wife, adopting this baby and giving him the name of Jesus, he died to his reputation. He let it all go. He died to the status in the community. He died to the comfort that he would have, his roadmap of life. He died to all of that, and he chose to follow the leading of a different map. Call it God's position signal for him, if you want. He opted for that. You see, God has a better plan for our lives than we can ever imagine. You know something, God's got a better plan for our church than we can even map out for ourselves. And God gives us, as we decide that we'll not walk it our way, we'll walk it his way, God has these words, these four words, I am with you. It's going to cost. There's going to be sacrifice. You're going to have to give up a lot. But I will be with you. The children in their classes are going to be learning something about Joseph, but one of the verses I think that they'll have is it's turned to in the Bible here in front of us here, and it's from Jeremiah 29:11. It says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, and they are plans for good, and not disaster, plans to give you a future and a hope." I've heard it said, and I believe this, I do, I just have trouble with it, incorporating it into my own life. But if your God cannot contradict and cannot challenge and cannot change your life plan, then you're really serving a mini-me God and not the God of grace. If you're serving the God of grace, he's going to contradict. He's going to challenge. He's going to change the roadmap of your life. You know, we have these wonderful plans for our lives, but in reality, the best they are is but the thread side of the banner that Marg held up here. It's the other side. That God wants us to embrace and to accept, and as Joseph did, he did what the Lord commanded. Now, inevitably, that plan of God is going to cost. Changes always cost us something. Sacrifices will need to be made, and sometimes there can be loss. There certainly was for Joseph, a lot of loss for Joseph. Ditto for us. You know, I'm like you. Who cannot but be thinking after December the 5th of South Africa and of Nelson Mandela's death, if there's one thing that I would say stands out for me when I think of all of that, I think of those 27 years in prison. I think I would say this of him. I would want to say it of myself and of you and of this church of ours. If we're not able to lay down, if we don't lay down the requirement that the journey or the roadmap of life needs to be easy or comfortable or safe, if we're willing to lay that down, that requirement of comfort and safety and ease, if we're willing to lay that down, we can change the world, our world. Mandela did. He laid all of that down, and we can too. Joseph had a life roadmap for himself, and he let it go at great cost because he was able to look ahead, able to look past all of the potential and realized disadvantage of his life once he obeyed the angel of the Lord and put his trust that God would be with him, and he saw by faith the greater reality that was to come. I don't think, there's no sense of this in Scripture that I can see that Joseph actually lived to see that. I don't know when he died, but he certainly died before Jesus, his son, died. He didn't live to see it, but by faith, he saw it. The eyes of his heart saw it. He saw that if he went with God's roadmap for his life, he was going with the greater and with the better. You know, there may be all kinds of things right now for you in your life that don't make a lot of sense. You know, you think about the challenges. We all have our challenges. I have my own. As we end this year of 2013 and we move into 2014, but I need to get it. We all need to get it. We have to get it for our church, that the number one goal of God is not anxiety removal. God's goal for us is change. God's goal for us is changing the roadmaps that we have and looking to see that His roadmap for us is the better way, the way that carries a future, the way that carries a hope, the way that's filled with promise, the way that the Scripture tells us God will prosper us. And the thing that I have to learn, the church in Syria is on its knees, and I need to be in my knees, and you do, we do as a church, on our knees to ask God for His help, to ask God for His wisdom, to ask God for the willingness to say yes, so that when the time comes and that challenge of the Lord comes to us, that thing that's going to contradict what we believe is right, our best thinking, when we see that, we'll be very quick to embrace and say yes to God's plan. Remember these four words, will you? As we continue to move through Advent and towards Christmas, God is with us. God is with you. So lean on Him. Trust Him. Look to Him for His best in your life. I'm going to pray. The praise team can come forward. Very thankful for this morning of special music, Christmas music that they've offered us here. I want to pray, and then we're going to sing our concluding song. Next Sunday, our service is going to be one service. It's going to be at 10 o'clock. Just put that out so that when you come, if you're able to park a little bit of a distance away and leave space in the parking lot and the road side for some of our senior folk, that would be wonderful. But let's pray now to lean on God, to trust God. I want to pray that for Brenda Marriott and